It started out like so many evenings. Mom and Dad were at home. Jimmy was playing after dinner. And Mom and Dad were absorbed with other things and didn't really notice the passing of time until Mom looked up and realized it's time for Jimmy to go to bed. So she told Jimmy, "Jimmy, it's time for you to get up and go to bed. And I'll come up and see you a little bit later." Unusually, Jimmy got up and went straight up to his bedroom. And after about an hour or so, his mother came up to check on him. And to her surprise, she saw Jimmy still awake. And he was looking outside his window at this full moon. "What are you doing, Jimmy?" "I'm looking at the moon, Mommy." "Well, it's time to go to bed now," she said. And as one reluctant boy settled down, he said, "Mommy, you know, one day I'm going to walk on that moon." And who could have known that that boy in whom that dream was planted that very evening would survive a near fatal motorcycle crash that would break almost every bone in his body, but that true to his statement 32 years later, Jimmy, or James Irwin, would be one of the only 12 human beings that have walked on the surface of the moon. James Jim Irwin fulfilling his dream is an example of the power of vision and how that vision can motivate and captivate someone to reach some lofty heights. I love what Bob Logan wrote about vision. Vision, the capacity to create a compelling picture of the desired state of affairs that inspires people to respond. That which is desirable, which could be, should be, that which is attainable. A godly vision is right for the times, right for the church, and right for the people. A godly vision promotes faith rather than fear. A godly vision motivates people to action. A godly vision requires risk-taking. A godly vision glorifies God and not people. We, the Creekwood Church of Christ, must always have a vision for this congregation. And actually, what we must always do is seek to capture God's vision for this church, what God wants this church to be. And may our vision of the Creekwood Church, capturing God's vision for this congregation, motivate and captivate us to reach some greater heights in His service and to His glory. This morning, and that just spilled over, and Lord willing, I'm hoping to complete it next Sunday. I want to share a vision. I want to share a vision for this congregation. And if you're visiting with us, if you're visiting from out of town, I believe these principles will apply at every congregation. But I want to be sure that we, the Creekwood Church, have this vision, have a vision for the church that will captivate us, that will motivate us, that will help us reach greater heights. So consider with me a vision for the Creekwood Church of Christ. Here's a vision: a growing family. A growing family. Growing in many ways, but one way especially, growing in our love for one another. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." Jesus says, that's what should characterize my people, is their love for one another. So our vision for this church must always include a growing family that's growing in love for one another. What does that look like? I think that's going to look like fellowship being enjoyed, not just in the walls of this church building, but outside the church building. I think this love for one another is evident when we enjoy being in one another's company. In fact, we look forward to being together, to sharing time together, so much that we can't wait till Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. We get together outside of our worship and Bible class times. What does it look like? It looks like people who rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, and a myriad of other ways. Our vision must always be, we see a growing family that continues to grow in our love for one another. Another way we need to continue to grow is to grow in Christ-likeness. To grow in Christ-likeness. That's God's will for each of us, individually and collectively, that we grow more and more into the image of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of our Lord. God wants to see in us and work in us this transformation. That as we grow in our walk with Christ, the evidence of that growth is we become more and more like Jesus, God's Son. We should be looking and acting more and more like Jesus every day. That's where we need to grow. That must be included in our growth as a family, that we're going to grow in Christ-likeness. And yes, it also includes growing in number, adding to our family. Those who gladly received his word, that's Peter's preaching here in Acts chapter 2, were baptized, and that day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. Verse 47 of Acts 2. The early church was praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The Lord was adding to his family. The church was growing. And that must always be a part of our vision for this congregation, that we grow in our love, in Christ-likeness. But we also are always seeking to grow in number. And why is that so important? Simply this, because it means more and more souls are being saved. That's what it means. That more people are obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, being saved from their sins. And the Lord, when we're baptized into Christ, he adds us to his family, and his family grows. When Patrice and I got married, we talked about it, and we decided that 3 children is a good number. Okay, I'm going to give you a moment to think about that. 3 children is a good number. A couple years after John David was born, our 3rd child, Patrice says, I'm not feeling quite right. And I said, uh-oh. So she went and got a pregnancy test, and she came out after doing the test with a smile and tears. And what did I say? Thank you, Lord. And what have I found? We got plenty of love for that one too. Money may not be any. We got plenty of love for that one too. Here's something else I've discovered, and what you grandparents have tried to tell me all along. When those grandchildren come along, you got plenty of love for them too. The more the merrier. Pop, Grandy, is that right? Folks, that's the attitude we should have about God's family. The more the merrier. Because it means that people are being saved, that our family is growing. We need to have that as our vision and be working toward that to have that vision realized. That we want our family to grow closer together, yes. We want to grow and looking more and more like Jesus. We want to grow. We want to burst the walls of this building. Because it means that people are being added to the family of God. And there's plenty of love to go around for that. What will that mean to us? That means we're going to be friendly to strangers. We're going to be inviting our friends and our loved ones to be a part of our worship services and other activities. We're going to be welcoming. We're going to be embracing. We're going to be looking to grow. Longing to reach out to others with the love of Jesus and let the message be communicated. God has enough love for you, and we have love enough for you to embrace you as part of this family. Will you capture that vision? It's God's vision for this church. He wants to see a growing family. Secondly, here's a vision for this church where every member is a minister. Every member is a minister. Every member is a minister. We all have talents. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in His various forms. Each of you should use that gift that you have to serve other people. And by so doing, you're showing yourself to be stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Each of us has a talent or talents. And each of us should be wanting to use those in service to God by serving others and serving within this church family. There's a place for everyone. Let that be communicated. And there's a place for everyone to serve. We all have talents. Number two, we must all work together. Many times in Scripture, we find the church being compared to the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 is one of those passages. The body of Christ. We're all, now indeed there are many members, but one body. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20. And in that text, Paul talks about how no one is more important than the other, and that we all have a function to fulfill, and that the body works effectively, just like our physical bodies, when we all work together. The body functions best when every part does its share. It's the team approach. Together, everyone achieves more. Why do we work within the body of Christ? Why is it God's will that when we're added to His family, we're also added to the body of Christ? And we all have our different functions, but we work together so that we can achieve more. That's God's design. He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. Verse 16 says, from Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Every member a minister. Every member of the body of Christ. Every member of this family engaged in service to God within the body of Christ. That's God's design. That's His vision for this church. Let's capture it. Let's embrace it. Let's enact it. Number three, God's vision for this church is serving our community. Serving our community. And that means reaching out to our community. Folks, let me tell you something. In my years of ministry, one thing that I have observed is that the longer it seems that we become, that we are Christians, the longer that we are members of the church, the more internalized we get. And folks, we need that in reach. We've already talked about that. We need to grow in love for one another and build the bonds within the body of Christ. But folks, if our focus is always just inward, we're missing out on God's vision for the church. God wants His family, His church, to be reaching out into our community. You notice the early church, it was said, Acts 2, 47, that we quoted earlier. The early church was praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Have you thought about that phrase, that the early church had favor with all the people? What does that mean? How is the church regarded by outsiders? Not all, I'm sure. There were some enemies of the church. But they had favor, this passage says. Luke says, they had favor with all the people. There was positive regard toward the church. Here's an example of it. When Mike and Nellie and I went to India a few years ago, Mike and I, whether we were wanted to or not, were given many opportunities to speak. And it wasn't in Telugu. Jayapal had to translate for us. While we were there, it was our, glory be to God, it was our honor to witness the baptism of 51 people. There were areas where we went where I could not take you because I couldn't get you back there. There were areas where we went where Jayapal would tell Mike and me, let us do the baptizing. Why is that? We like to baptize folks into Jesus. Let us do the baptizing. Because there were some enemies of the cause of Christ in that area. That seeing these Caucasian people from America baptizing would cause a greater stir than seeing these native Indians baptizing people. But you know what? In Raleigh, we could baptize everybody that wanted to be with no fear. Why? Because of the presence of the church in Raleigh. A congregation that we help support, that reaches out in the community, that is respected in the community, that is looked to in the community, because that church is able to minister to people in their community. You want to know why they're growing? It's because they're reaching out into the community. And folks, that's the way it should be everywhere. We should not become internally focused, but looking out, looking for ways where we can serve our community around us. They're not going to know about Jesus if we only talk about Jesus in this auditorium. They're not going to know about Jesus until they see us out in the community helping people in need. Folks, will you capture this vision that we need to be serving our community? How can we do that? And isn't that fulfilling what Jesus is saying? You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, that it may give light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Folks, we can't be salt. We can't be light. If the only place we salt and light is this building. How can we, church, better serve our community? Here's one way we're already doing it. That's our Meals on Wheels program. I captured these pictures. If you're offended by this, they're on our website. So if you want to update your picture, that's fine. Or you may prefer the older ones. That's fine too. That's just a representation of some past and some present who are involved. That's not all who are involved in our Meals on Wheels program. Serving meals twice a week to around 60 or so people. Some of which are members of the body of Christ, most of which are not. What does that communicate to those who are not yet Christians? Those people care about me. They call and they inquire because there are some home health agencies that call and ask if they can add a patient of theirs to our Meals on Wheels list. And then when we contact the family, right now there's a waiting list. When we contact the family, a common question is, how much does it cost? Nothing. What? It's a ministry of the church here to help those who need it. That's one way to reach out into the community. That's one way to reach out to those who are not members of this church family, who are not Christians, to let the love of Jesus be seen. Another example, last year and into this year, Eric and I put together 12 lights projects. This is the graphic that Eric created. He's the best, one of the best graphic creators that I know. And the next slide is the list of projects that we amended as we went through the year, things that we are engaged in. And if you'll recall those activities that we did, some of them were in reach, reaching within the family of God, like visiting our shut-ins. But others were outreach, visiting the nursing home, complete strangers, being involved in the food giveaway, where families, most of which we did not know, but some families that could use some help around December, came to our building, and in conjunction with the Servants Love Incorporated, were given a whole bunch of food to help. And God was glorified. And people saw, they associated the receiving of that food as a work of the Creekwood Church of Christ. What more can we do to serve our community, to get outside this church building and into the lives of other people, to minister to those who are in need, to help bring them to Jesus? Because that's the primary goal. Number four, and I'll finish with this one this morning. God's vision for this church is to maintain a deep love and respect for God's Word. May His Word be always proclaimed from the pulpit. Whether it's me or whomever preaches from this pulpit, may it be God's Word that's preached. Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. I was always taught, use lots of scripture in your sermons. That way at least that much will be correct. Preach the Word. Proclaim it from the pulpit. Teach it in the classroom. 2 Timothy 2:2. The things which you have heard from me among many witnesses, Paul said to Timothy, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Pass it on. Continue to teach the Word. Proclaim it. But teach it in the classrooms so that they in turn can learn and teach others. And I think this deep love and respect for God's Word is going to be demonstrated when God's Word is read and studied and lived throughout the week. Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, James says. Receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. James 1, 21 through 25. We will continue to show a deep love and respect for God's Word when we read it and study it and live it, not just on Sundays, but on every day of the week. George Mueller wrote, the vigor of our spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in our life and thoughts. How healthy are we spiritually? That can be answered by, what place does the Bible hold in my life? Here's the way it needs to be. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you, these Thessalonian Christians, received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. So part of a vision for the Creekwood Church of Christ is that the church is a growing family, every member a minister, serving our community, all the while having a deep love and respect for the Word of God. Do you share this vision? If not, will you embrace it? Will you embrace it by putting shoe leather on it? In other words, by acting on it. This is part of a vision. This is what I'm going to say about this. Let it begin with me. Let it begin with me. I want what God wants for this church. Will you join me? Let it begin with me. If you're subject to the invitation of Jesus, please come right now as we stand and sing.